Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. I want to thank Bruce for becoming one of our ongoing Patreon supporters at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month at patreon.greatdetectives.net. And I also want to thank Francis for sending along a one-time donation via our P.O. Box at Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho, 83715. Thanks so much for your support, Francis. Other ways to support the show on the one-time basis include using the Zelle app to send a box13@greatdetectives.net or going to support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. And this is actually the only circulating episode of Rocky Jordan for December of 1949. The other three episodes were missing. So let's go ahead and take a look at The Veiled People.
Buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan and this week's story, The Veiled People.
The tambourine gets all sorts of people, but this kind of man was new to me. Tall, muscular, with piercing dark eyes, black silken hair and thin beard, sun-baked skin that turned light below the eyes. In spite of his size, his hands were delicate, and he might have been graceful except for the ill-fitting white robe and his complete uncertainty. I watched him as he came back to where I was wiping some glasses behind the bar.
My name is Gerard. I would work for you, sir.
Yeah, I get all the help I need. Sorry.
I need money. I will work very hard. For only a few francs.
They don't pay in francs around Cairo. Where are you from, anyway?
If I do good work, you do not care.
Well, you ought to be a good caravan driver. Why don't you look up Ali Ben down at the camel stall?
I do not want to drive camels. I would work hard for you. Scrub floors. Sweep. With this broom, I will show you.
Stay on the other side of the bar. I said nothing doing.
I clean up very good. You will see.
Cut it, will you? Look out with that broom. Gerard!
Oh, I am most sorry.
I'll bet you are. That was expensive liquor. It'll cost you plenty.
Oh, but there is no money. So, now you see, I have to work for you. Is that not so, sir?
Yeah. All right, get busy, Gerard. There was nothing to do but let him work it out. It was all new to him, but he was tireless. By night, he had the place as spotless as my grandmother's kitchen. The Cairo streets had him confused, so I helped direct him to an address in the Sharia El Gama. But he was back bright and early the next day, hard at work. That evening, I told him he'd worked off his debt, gave him a few piastres, and said he could stay on. Whoever he was or where he came from, he seemed like a good man to have around. He thanked me and hurried away. I figured the tambourine had had its fill of strange characters for a while, but a few minutes later, there were two more. They were tall and erect, dressed in blue robes. It wasn't just the fact that they blocked the door that sent me hurrying up front, but something else. The black veils that covered their faces.
Look well over the room, Jeb.
The eyes regard each person, Hagar.
All right, Imchi boys, fun's over. Take the masquerade someplace else.
Tell us now where he is.
We talk when you take off the disguise. You know, your wives will be missing those veils.
The insult, Hagar.
So, now we show him the knives, Jeb.
You see, sheathed to the wrists, sharp for the throat of the offender.
Yeah.
Now, where is the one who calls himself Gerard?
Gerard? What's your interest?
It is one which brings us from far across the sand.
From the land of fear we come.
Silence, Jeb. We talk only of the shameless one.
As you say, the one who calls himself Gerard.
He's not around.
But he will return here.
Maybe. You got quite a wait.
The people of the desert are doomed to patience. We will wait here.
Yeah, hold on. We got rules at the tambourine. You check your knives at the door.
The knives remain with us.
Not in here, they don't. Keep it outside.
So, as he wishes, Jeb, we remain close by until the shameless one returns.
Police headquarters. Sergeant Greco speaking.
Hello, Greco. This is Rocky. Put Sam on.
The Captain Sabaya is not here, Mr. Jordan.
And where do I find him?
He is in Port Said on an extradition matter. Now, kindly state your business.
I want some of your men over here on the double.
And why?
A bunch of characters are scratching around outside, a little too anxious with knives.
Indeed. Your tambourine has a way of attracting the disreputable.
All right, just get them out of here, Greco, before they make trouble.
Proceed, please. Describe them quickly.
Oh, you can't miss them. There's three of them, tall, wearing blue robes.
You fear the fellaheen?
Well, these aren't just farmers, Greco. They're different. Hey, and get this. They all wear veils.
Mr. Jordan, listen to me. You will leave them alone. Do not so much as look at them twice.
Oh, cut it, Greco. They aren't women. They're men.
Men wearing veils, Mr. Jordan?
Well, you figure it out. Now, get busy.
Mr. Jordan, it appears that once again your mind is clouded from the wares of your cafe. I suggest you get some sleep. When you awake, you may call me again if you remember anything. Until then, good night, Mr. Jordan.
Greco, listen to me. Well, that meant I had no help from the police, not with Greco on duty. As though that wasn't enough, Chris popped his head in the door just then with some news. He'd just been checking the cash in the register up front. It was almost 100 pounds short. In spite of all the confusion, Gerard had been gone only 15 minutes. Chris had an idea, and so did I. That gave me one more good reason to look up Gerard. I ducked out the back way and headed east up the hill into the native quarter on my way to the Sharia El Gama. I thought I'd shaken the veiled characters, but the blue robe flapping half a block behind told me different. I stepped it up, then hopped into a doorway and waited. As he came by, I was out, twisting his robe around the throat. Which one are you, Buster?
It is the offender. So be it.
Now talk fast. What's it all about? Why do you want Gerard?
The knife will answer.
He suddenly twisted away and I couldn't hold. His hand went for the sheath on his left wrist. My punch landed right below the ribs. He doubled but had the knife. I swung again. The knife clattered away. That's when I yanked the veil off his face.
No, not the veil. No.
In the struggle, I had a good look at his face. Black, silky, thin beard. Pale skin below the eyes. Not the face of Gerard, but a lot like it. By then, the noise of the fight was bringing a lot of people. Smart foreigner doesn't get caught brawling in the native quarter. So I let him have one right on the button. He went down. I stuffed his veil in my pocket, then dug for an alley. Kept it up till I was sure I was safe. Then I went on to the Sharia El Gama. The dim streetlight pointed out the place I was after. A hovel fronting the street. A horse-drawn gharry, complete with driver, stood in front. Before I reached it, I had one more hurdle. Oh, another time. Out of the way, Imchi.
An unfortunate blind for the eyes that do not see.
Hello, your cheek, Imchi.
Blackie.
I shook him off as I saw a frightened native girl run from the house. She dumped a bundle of clothes in the gharry and was climbing in fast.
Quickly now, driver.
Hey, just a minute, lady. I want to talk to you.
No.
It's about Gerard. I've got to see him. Where is he?
Driver, whip the horse. Do not wait. A la tool.
I had my hand on the gharry, but it yanked away and I went sprawling. By the time I was up again, the gharry had carried the girl far down the street, too fast to follow. Well, the door to the house was wide open, so I went in. I found a candle, lit it. After a couple of minutes looking, decided I'd find nothing there. I was right, and I was wrong.
Turn around, Signor Jordan, but carefully so.
I turned and faced the voice. He stood in the doorway, wearing a black flop hat over a mottled face. His crooked teeth were showing, but the grin wasn't pleasant. And he held a gun.
Sit down, Señor Jordan. We will talk about her now. Sit down.
Sure. Now, tell me all about her.
But I must ask you, where did she go?
I don't know.
Obviously, you too have an interest in her. Else, why are you here?
I came looking for Gerard.
Only because he might lead you to her. Is that not so?
No, I knew nothing about her. It happens Gerard works for me at my cafe.
Yes, yes, I know. I follow him for a time from your cafe tonight, but the wily one, he evaded me.
That's how you know my name. I didn't get yours.
Antonio Scorpio, senor.
Now, how does Gerard concern you?
Oh, none at all, except as excellent bait. Now, let us forget him.
And while you're about it, maybe you can explain a bunch of guys running around Cairo with veils over their faces.
Let them return to their beds of sand where they belong. That's no affair of mine.
But the girl is. Why?
Senor, I'm beginning to wonder if you do know anything of this. Is it possible you do not know who she is?
You got it right.
Then you don't know her worth in gold or silver.
I'm waiting for you to tell me.
I believe I will offer you something even better, my friend.
This begins to shape up like a deal.
Well, perhaps it is. It seems that you have won the confidence of this Gerard. It is possible that he places a certain trust in you. You will wait here for him.
Yeah?
You have only to obtain the whereabouts of the girl whose name is Sheila. Bring the information to me, and you shall be well repaid.
What happens to her and Gerard?
That need never concern you. Well, senor.
You think I'd go for a deal like that?
Well, we who for reasons cannot return to our own country must live the best we can. You answer.
Tell me all of it. I'll decide then.
Then you will get out of here. I will wait alone and you will get nothing.
Have it your way, Scorpio.
Yes. Arrivederci, senor. But mark you. Keep your lips sealed. Your life means no more to me than those of the desert. Now get out.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. With jolly old St. Nick due for his annual visit in just 2 weeks, there's a festive spirit pervading the land. Yes, it's the time of year for entertaining. And that, as you ladies know, means a lot of meals to plan. So here's a timely suggestion.
Start your meals off on the right note of enjoyment with the perfect appetizer. Del Monte tomato juice.
Yes, Del Monte tomato juice is the perfect appetizer. Its just right tang and rich tomato flavor really whets the appetite. Get your meal off to a flying start. That's because
Del Monte tomato juice is fresh tasting.
Right. All of the sunny flavor of juicy red tomatoes fully ripened right on the vine.
Del Monte tomato juice is natural tasting.
Del Monte tomatoes are rushed direct from the field to the cannery to protect their fresh, natural taste.
And Del Monte tomato juice is refreshing.
That's right. The fresh, natural flavor of Del Monte tomato juice means real refreshment. So remember,
for the perfect appetizer to start your meal off on the right note of enjoyment, it's Del Monte tomato juice every time.
Buy several cans at your grocer's. You'll find they'll come in mighty handy. And now we take you back to Cairo and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Veiled People.
Well, I went back to the tambourine and tried for some sleep, but it was filled with nightmares and a lot of unanswered questions. Next morning, I was reading the paper over some coffee when an item on page 2 caught my eye. Body of unidentified murder victim found in house at 1410 Sharia El Gama. Body taken to morgue. That was all, but not for me. 1410 Sharia El Gama was the house I'd visited the night before. I went to headquarters to pay my last respects to Gerard. Greco is still sitting at Sam's desk.
I repeat, Mr. Jordan, the Captain Sabaya is in Port Said. I am in command.
All right, you'll do, Greco. You brought in a body from a place on Sharia El Gama last night. I'd like to see it.
You seem to have a special zest for the dead.
Oh, cut it, Grego. Just take me to the morgue.
Do you think you can identify him?
Yeah, I think so.
This way, Mr. Jordan. You seem most tired. Perhaps the affairs of the night.
Yeah.
Would it be that you saw more of the men with veils? Or perhaps the masks on their faces?
Yeah, that's right. Want to hear about them?
Indeed not. Your dreams obviously confuse Cairo with Chicago. Over here.
Oh, this the one?
Feast your eyes, Mr. Jordan.
Well, that's not...
Your obvious surprise does not escape me, Mr. Jordan. Who is he?
Not who I thought. Name's Antonio Scorpio.
Antonio Scorpio.
How'd he die?
From the knife, of course.
This one here?
Do not touch it, Mr. Jordan.
I wouldn't think of it. Did you ever see a knife like this?
In my time, I have seen many knives. They are all for one purpose. Now, I have other matters. Are you coming, Mr. Jordan?
Yeah, sure, Grego. And thanks for everything. I followed him up and went out. My thanks to Greco had been for a knife I pocketed as he turned away. It was exactly like the ones carried by the veiled men. I caught the first taxi and made it across town to the Cairo Museum. After a little waiting, got in to see the curator of the weapons division, a kindly white-topped Mr. Winters. I introduced myself and laid the knife on his desk.
Well, it is not the best specimen, Mr. Jordan, but it seems authentic. Wicked-looking thing, isn't it? Where did you get it?
Let's just say I found it, Mr. Winters. Who would use a knife like that?
Well, it is the favorite weapon of the Tuareg. They sheathe them to the wrist for instant use.
Tuareg?
Yes, Tuareg. Remarkable people. Nomads living in the heart of the Sahara, called by many the Land of Fear.
That much checks. I'm just trying to remember there's something different about the Tuareg.
Well, I should say, yes. By some, they are known as the Desert Raiders. And by others, and I think much more appropriately, the People of the Veil.
Oh, of course, the Veils. They all wear veils?
Oh, no. Not the women, Mr. Jordan. Only the men. The litham, it is called. A black cloth to hide the faces of the men day and night.
I still don't get it.
Well, you can say it's an answer lost to antiquity. Custom gone into reverse, you might say. In fact, a mild form of matriarchy exists.
Mr. Winters.
Yes?
Supposing one of the Tuareg wanted to get away from the tribe and then lose his identity, how could he best do that?
Really, I couldn't say.
All he'd have to do is change to other clothes and take off the veil. His own people might not even recognize him.
Oh, but it's hardly likely. They consider removing the veil as shameless. But it is a thought. Is it... possible that you are a writer, Mr. Jordan?
Nobody'd ever believe this story. Well, thanks, Mr. Winters.
No, not at all. Please let me know how your story turns out.
Sure, if I ever find out myself. Well, I suppose I could have dropped it right there. But I was thinking about the frightened native girl I'd seen running from Gerard's house. And maybe I remembered the 100 pounds Gerard had snatched from my till. Anyhow, I decided to try for more, and that took me back to the native quarter. I found the blind man not far from where he'd been begging the night before.
Bakshish, Effendi, bakshish for the blind.
Hey, we met last night, remember?
The voice of the foreigner. You offered no piastre.
I got plenty today.
Allah will bless you.
A native girl got into a gharry here last night. There was a driver.
My ears heard the sound, but my eyes knew nothing.
This whole handful of piastres for the name of the driver of that gharry.
Effendi, the driver, I do not know, but on the gharry, the number, in English, it would be 27.
Thanks. Here, go buy yourself some carrots.
Buta Shakir, Effendi, Bachi!
It took half an hour to locate the driver of the gharry 27. A half pound to get him to tell me where he'd taken the girl. To a little town south on the Nile called Helouan. So I invested some more money and had him take me there. Helouan turned out to be nothing more than a tiny boat stop. There were a few windowless shacks along the Nile banks. The driver pointed to one and was gone. I got to the open door of the shack and went in. I waited for my eyes to get accustomed to the dim light.
So, even to this sad place you choose to follow...
I saw her then, standing across the room at the wall. It was the girl, Sheila. small, oval-faced. She stood erect, but helpless.
Like those of the Torek. Like the vicious Scorpio, you come to torment us.
I only came to find Gerard, to find out what this is all about. Where is he?
I would not tell. What do you know of Gerard?
He worked for me at my cafe.
Then you are the good Effendi Jordan of whom Gerard speaks well.
Yeah, from whom he took £100.
Oh, he will repay. He took it only to help me escape, to pay the driver who came for me to get us away.
But why? Scorpio was after you. What for? Who are you?
I am Sheila, daughter of Sheikh Amenakal, a man of wealth and position on the Munda Oasis to the south of Algiers.
Yeah, long way from home.
Would you hear my story, Effendi Jordan?
All right, Sheila. Go ahead.
Well, first you must know, Effendi, that at home I was not happy. My father had betrothed me to one I did not love. Then one night, the Torag raiders came and took me into the desert, holding me for ransom. You can realize my terror. I, who had been protected always from the world.
Oh, sure.
They would have been cruel to me, all but Gerard. He was tender and shielded me from the others. Such is fate. For it was the will of Allah that I should come to love Gerard. And he loved me.
Mm-hmm.
He aided in my escape. Together we went to the city and I became his wife. I dared not return to my father, who would not accept Gerard as my husband. Gerard removed the blue robes and the veil, hoping the vengeful tribesmen would not find him. But it was not so easy. We went from one place to another, even to Cairo. But still they followed.
Well, that's quite a story, Sheila. But what about Scorpio?
Somehow he learned of me. Perhaps for reward, perhaps for the ransom he would take me. I'm not sure.
That's why Gerard killed him?
Oh, no. No, Effendi. Gerard never returned to the house. Gerard was waiting here.
And I return now.
Gerard,
cut
no!
it, Gerard. Drop the knife.
Jordan, sir.
Oh, do not harm him. He comes in peace, my husband.
Only you come, Jordan, sir?
That's right, Gerard. Sheila's told me everything. You should have told me to begin with.
No. Then you would not want me to work for you, for money to take her away.
You found other ways of getting it.
Those of my tribe came too quickly. I will repay. The promise of the Tareg is good.
Well, what's your plan now?
A small passenger boat docks here at dusk. We would board it and travel far south to the interior.
Where we trust they will not find us again.
You would not stop us, Effendi Jordan.
No. Not even if I could.
We are eternally grateful.
I waited there with him the rest of the afternoon. When evening came, Sheila picked up a few belongings and we went down to the small dock on the river. And well after sunset, a boat slid up to the dock's edge. A narrow gangplank came down, but the deck was strangely deserted. All we could see was the pilot up in the cabin, and his face was straight ahead. Something didn't look right.
Gerard, I do not understand this.
Come, Sheila. We must not wait.
Hold it, Gerard. Who's on there? Hey, speak up. Where's the crew?
If you are coming, get aboard. Quickly.
As he says.
No, better let me check. Wait here with Sheila. Hey, where is everybody?
Oh, and the offender.
Gerard, get up here.
I come, Jordan, sir.
I was pinned behind. He was heavy but too anxious, and I sent him sailing over my head. Blue robes and all. As Gerard reached the deck, a second of the veiled men was mixing in. A third was scrambling down from the pilot's cabin. My foot slowed him. By then, a lot of knives were flashing, and I looked to the safety of Sheila. That's when I saw something else. A horse-drawn gharry racing down to the water's edge. Loaded down with uniforms, it came piling out, headed by none other than Sergeant Greco.
Stop! Stop at once! What is the meaning of this?
Step it up, will you?
Onto the boat, quickly! Disarm them all!
Hey, Greco! How'd you get here?
So, Mr. Jordan, is not the fact that I am here enough?
Yeah, I can't say I ever cared for your face, Greco. But I'm sure glad to see it now.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. This is the time of year when hearty meals are the rule. And since one good rule deserves another, here's one you'll want to keep.
Keep a bottle of Del Monte catsup on your table. You'll find its zippy, zesty flavor makes so many foods extra tempting, extra delicious.
Yes, Del Monte catsup has a satisfying, rich tomato flavor that does justice to the finest steak. It's livelier, it's peppier. It has the kind of flavor a man can really enjoy.
On plain foods, on chops, on meatloaf, French fries, or on hamburgers, on anything that calls for catsup, Del Monte catsup is a real tomato flavor treat.
That's because Del Monte catsup is made with pineapple vinegar, the superlative vinegar that brings out all the best in tomato flavor and blends so perfectly with the special herbs and spices.
And Del Monte catsup is the only catsup made with pineapple vinegar.
So remember, Del Monte catsup, for the zestiest, liveliest catsup that ever pleased a man.
There's nothing like its rich tomato flavor to perk up those hearty meals.
And Del Monte catsup costs less than many other quality brands. If you haven't tried Del Monte catsup, you're missing a real flavor treat. Try it soon. Back now to Rocky Jordan for the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, with Greco and the police swarming around, the veiled men gave it up before too much damage was done to anybody. About that time, the pilot of the boat, who'd been held at the wheel by the Torig's knife, came scrambling down. He was glad enough to turn the boat around. And with all of us aboard, he went back down the Nile and docked at Cairo. The three veiled men got a cell apiece. Gerard and Sheila waited outside as Greco commanded me into Sam Sabaya's office.
I will now complete the dossier on this case. Sit there, Mr. Jordan.
Sure. Oh, by the way, Sam always has coffee.
It can wait. Now, first, the matter of 100 pounds stolen by Gerard from your cafe.
Oh, I'm not preferring charges, Grego. Gerard will pay up.
Very well, as you wish.
Oh, he needed it bad. He'd hoped to earn enough working at my cafe to get Sheila away, but his tribesmen found him way too quick. Oh, they've both been through enough. Gerard asked for it when he helped Sheila escape from the Torig. I can understand why they didn't go right to her father, Sheikh Amenikau. Gerard's life wouldn't have been worth much. Am I boring you?
Quite to the contrary, Mr. Jordan.
Now, the Torig must have been asking a fancy ransom. Somehow, Antonio Scorpio got wind of it, and he located Sheila and Gerard and followed along, figuring to cut in. When the veiled men found Scorpio at Gerard's house last night, it was their chance to get rid of him. Of course, you didn't check on Scorpio.
You will be disappointed. Antonio Scorpio was a notorious criminal, last known operating in Algiers.
Good boy, Grego. Sam's going to be real proud of you.
That is my intent. You were most kind to help.
Me?
It is so easy to follow the Occidental mind.
What are you getting at?
It happens that I intended to do nothing but the matter of the knife which disappeared from the morgue. It was so like you, Mr. Jordan.
It's all yours, Grego.
At that point, I invoked the command of the Captain Sabaya when he left me in charge. That should you again become involved in one of your usual escapades, that questions would prove futile, I was only to watch you and follow. It was simple for us both to take the same path.
How'd you find me down at Helouan?
The driver of the Garrick took both you and Sheila to the Nile town. Could he not also take those of the police?
Yeah, sure. Just one thing, Greco. No rough stuff with Gerard, huh?
Sheikh Amenakal will be notified immediately, Mr. Jordan. It is a duty.
And what then?
Do not be concerned. Their marriage seems quite legal. Our father cannot force the girl's return. The man Gerard, under surveillance, may remain with her in Egypt.
Oh, yeah. That's the way Sam would handle it.
As you say, the Captain Sabaya will be most pleased with my report. Good night, Mr. Jordan.
Good night, Greco. Oh, by the way, I've got something for you.
You have, Mr. Jordan? What is it?
This veil I grabbed off Hogarth's face. Try it on, Greco. I knew it ought to look good.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte catsup and chili sauce.
Del Monte tomato sauce and canned tomatoes.
And Del Monte tomato juice.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Cool, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jane Avello as Sam Sabayo. Sergeant Greco is played by Lou Krugman. This program is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is The Late Mr. Maru. For a gay, glamorous holiday dessert, serve Del Monte Fruit Cocktail. Five luscious fruits, ready cut, so easy to serve, so pleasing to see, so delicious to taste. Del Monte Fruit Cocktail. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. Well, you might be used to other old-time radio programs that will make up a tribe or a strange or unusual people. But with Rocky Jordan, it wouldn't be surprising that the Tuareg really are a people group, and they are in North Africa. That does beg the question about why Greco didn't actually know about them. Now, it's tempting to answer that the reason Greco didn't know is because he's Greco, but there are also just a wide variety of different ethnic groups and tribes, and I don't necessarily think it'd be reasonable to expect your Cairo police sergeant to know all of them. Speaking of Greco, I like the way this episode handled the absence of Sabaya. And sometimes you'll listen to a radio program where you have somebody absent, which happens quite a bit when you're doing programs year-round, and it really seems like they just took the character who was absent and gave all the lines to the character who's there. That's not how this particular episode feels at all, because they really did put some thought into how Greco would react. And even though he does react in many ways in a similar way to Sabaya, we're given a good reason in that he's trying to impress Sabaya when he returns by competently resolving the case. So it's not that Greco doesn't usually try his best, it's just that usually he doesn't feel like it. But right now he feels like kissing up a bit when Sabaya gets back. Also, there's enough little marks in here where it does feel like Greco, just his generally more cool attitude towards Jordan, although he does give him a bit more professionalism towards the end of the episode. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. Francis writes in regards to the on her donation, thank you for your great old-time radio podcast. P.S., what happened to Bold Venture? Well, thank you so much for your comment, Francis. And what happened to Bold Venture? Well, we played one episode of it just as kind of a special. I think it might have been in honor of Lauren Bacall, and it was something listeners requested, so we did it as a listener support special. And then during The Amazing World of Radio, when we did The Summer of Bogart, we played several episodes of that over on The Amazing World of Radio. But the thing is, Bold Venture is really not a detective program. It's much more of a mystery program. It's fun in its own way. My wife and I grabbed a script and played around with it, the two of us trying to do all the parts. But really, it's best with Bogart and Bacall, I'll say that. But I definitely am open to doing bold venture as part of another project. I've often thought of possibly at some point doing an old-time radio adventure podcast where we'd have an adventure show once a week. And I would probably have Bold Venture as the second ongoing series that we would have on that. But that's not happened yet. So if for a full run of Bold Venture, we need to get to we would need to get to a point where we did an old-time radio adventure show, and of course, Patreon supporters would have a huge input into what type of show I would do as the one new show. But yeah, that would be when we would end up hearing more Bold Venture. Thanks so much for the question, Francis. All right, well, that'll do it for today. I do want to thank our Patreon of the day. Thanks so much to Will, a Patreon supporter since February, and at the Detective Sergeant level, thanks so much for your support. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie. Next Wednesday, we'll be back with another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.